I'm going to preach to you this morning on this subject, four faithful sayings. And my text today is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." The Apostle Paul uses this same term, "This is a faithful saying." That's the way he started this verse. "This is a faithful saying." And he uses this term four times in the Scriptures. "This is a faithful saying." And what he's saying is, this saying is certain. It's sure. It's dependable. It can be perfectly relied upon and believed by all men. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation by all men. Now let's look at these four statements. The first one is found here in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 15. "This is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." Who is this that came into the world? Who is this that left the Father's throne and came into this world? It's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the God-man. Jesus Christ, the prophet, priest, and king of our salvation. Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men, came into this world. Jesus Christ, wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's who came. Well, why? Why did he come into this world? Well, he didn't come into this world to set up an earthly kingdom. He didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He said the world was already condemned. He tells us exactly why he came into this world in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has sent me into the world to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me into the world to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me into the world to set the captive free. He has sent me into the world to comfort all that mourn. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For Christ Jesus also hath come to suffer for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Jesus Christ was put to death in the flesh, but raised to life by the Holy Spirit. And Peter declared at Pentecost, "Be it known unto you, be it known unto you all, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now here's the second faithful saying. In 2 Timothy 2:11, Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying. If we be dead with Christ, we shall live with him. If we suffer with Christ, we'll reign with him. But if we deny Christ, he will deny us." What does all this mean? Well, let me take it one at a time. If we be dead with Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But by his stripes, we're healed. We're forgiven. We are made alive in Christ, never ever to die. "Because I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. If we be dead with Christ, we live with Christ. If we be dead with Christ, we live because he lives. This is a faithful saying. If we suffer with Christ, we'll reign with him. But if we deny Christ, he also will deny us. You know, the people who have heard this gospel, this glorious gospel of salvation by the grace of God, the people who are truly saved by this gospel, they love Christ. They love the Lord Jesus. They believe him. They trust him. They walk with him daily. The people who love Christ, though, sometimes are called upon to endure persecution. Sometimes they're called upon to endure reproach, loss of friends for the sake of the gospel. And some people have even died because they believed on Christ. But our Lord, he declared this. He said, "Be you faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. But if we recant, if we disown Christ, if we deny Christ because of the gospel, if we deny Christ because of the fear of men, if we denied Christ in order to win the favor of men, if we deny Christ in order to avoid persecution for the truth, there is no remedy for apostasy. There is no remedy. If we deny him, he'll deny us." That's what he said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Our Lord said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father." Yes, sir. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that confesseth Christ shall live forever. Now, here's the third saying, the third faithful saying, in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. "And these things I will that you constantly remember, affirm, that those who believe in God be careful to walk in godliness and holiness and to maintain good works." Every believer knows we're saved by grace. Every believer knows that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Word of God here encourages all believers to walk in obedience, to walk in obedience to God, and to maintain good works. That's right. This is a faithful saying. "And these things I will that you constantly remember. Be careful to walk in holiness and godliness and maintain good works." The Word of God encourages all believers to walk in obedience to God and to do good works. Listen to Matthew chapter 5. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, and I know, a person cannot separate faith and conduct. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You cannot separate faith and repentance. You cannot separate belief and obedience. These words are clear. The fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, moderation. That's right. Yeah, you can't separate faith and conduct. So the Lord tells us here, every believer, to walk in obedience to God and maintain good works. I preached a sermon several years ago on the subject of love and forgiveness. And a person took my hand at the door and then said this, "Preacher, I just can't love and forgive like that." What did I answer? I said, "Well, perhaps not, but you can try. You can try to love people. You can try to forgive people, and God will give you the grace. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now here's the fourth and final saying. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, this is a faithful saying. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. What does that mean? Well, bodily exercise here is not jogging. It's not physical exercise. It's not an effort to exercise and lose weight. What Paul is saying here is this. Bodily exercise, that is, outward actions undertaken for the sake of worship and religion in form and ceremony, is not profitable at all. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ said this when he told that story about the Pharisee and the publican. He said, as a Pharisee stood in the temple, that is a certain place, he said, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. And then he began to tell all the things that he did in the flesh. I fast twice a week. I give alms to the poor. I tithe my income. I keep the Sabbath day. I abstain from certain meats. He put on a show for the benefit of God and went home condemned. But the publican did not list any of these bodily exercises. He would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friends, bodily exercise and form and ceremony will not profit us before God, but godliness will. Godliness is profitable in all things. Godliness, faith, trust, submission. Somebody said this one time, bowing the head is fine, but a broken heart is necessary. Rituals and ceremony will not take the place of repentance and faith. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, but don't count your beads. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, and our Lord has many blessings to give to his people who believe on him. But he said this, listen, come, and I'll give you rest. Just come to me. That's right. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Bodily exercise profiteth nothing. Godliness does. Ask, and shall be given you. For he that seeketh, findeth. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So bowing the head is fine, but a broken heart is profitable in all things. And bodily exercise, all the exercises of religion, will not profit you much. But bowing before God in faith, hope, and trust will profit plenty. Join us again next Lord's Day for this program. And until then, I bid you a very pleasant good day.